Ephesians chapter 5, we have things to look at this evening. I want you to pay very good attention. We're looking at times and seasons. Is that the title? Ephesians chapter 5 and 16. I'll start from 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. The word there, not being foolish, which means not thinking. God wants us to think, which means that as believers, we must learn to evaluate things. Evaluating things is not doubt, it's not carnality, it's actually spirituality. To be able to evaluate and say, what's going on? I mean, not out of curiosity or anxiety, but because God gave you a mind. And so he says in verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And we said the Greek word there, exagorazo, means to save so that it doesn't waste, which means that there's such a thing as time wasting. So time wasting is a spiritual problem. Now I'm not talking about time wasting when your team is 4-0 up and then you take the ball to the corner flag. That one is very spiritual. But time wasting when you are just doing nothing with the time. Now don't forget those people who play the, usually the other club, don't worry, because you have to keep the ball there. You are not the one wasting time. You are wasting the time of your opponents, actually. You are using the time to waste their time, okay? So, you must know that wasting time is very ungodly. You must know how to redeem the time. And we said the word evil there, poneros, not necessarily doesn't mean harmful. Well, it can become harmful simply means it's not stable. Okay? The days are evil, not stable. And if you don't use them well, they become harmful. Now we went to Genesis chapter 8, which we're going to look at in a bit more detail today. You ready? Genesis chapter 8, where God said in 22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, okay? Cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Now, this is a Genesis. Now, because we have two kinds of Genesis in Genesis, if you know that. We have the first one in chapter 1, verse 26 to 28, where he says, be fruitful, replenish the earth, take dominion, subdue. Then in Genesis 9:1, the same thing was said to Noah. And I showed you that the echoes are similar. Noah is in an ark, which is a temple, mini temple, and he stays in there over the seas. Genesis 8 and 4, Genesis 7, he's over the seas. Just like the Spirit of God, Genesis 1:2, is over the waters. Okay? And then, like they say, decreation in Genesis chapter 6 through to chapter 7, and then there's a new creation, Genesis chapter 9 verse 1. So which means that unlike what you have in Genesis chapter 1, in Genesis chapter 9 verse 1, we'll see that shortly, he says now be fruitful, multiply, but he said that by saying seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night will not cease. Okay, but in between that, much later, in Revelation chapter 22, we're going to get there shortly, he says, and in the new creation of God, okay, he says there will be no more night. He says God himself will be the light of that creation. He says there will be no more curse and no more sea. But in between all of that, he said there will be no, you will need the sun, the stars and the moon. But in between that, he says day and night will not cease. Summer and winter, cold and heat, seed time and harvest. So which means we need to study what happened and what's going on here. So in Luke 11, now I'm going to make it a bit faster because of my time, so I don't get caught up in the WCC issues where I'm in the introduction almost last 3-4 years. This one, we introduce and we have engagements. All right, Luke 11 and 49. Therefore said the wisdom of God, I will send them apostles, prophets and apostles, some of them they shall slay and persecute, because the slay here is the biblical one. that the blood of all the prophets, watch this statement, which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. From the foundation of the world. Then he says, from the blood of Abel. So which means that negativity was found in the foundation of the world. At the very beginning, we find murder. We find evil. Okay? In John 8:44, Jesus said to them, you are of your father the devil. He said he was a liar from the beginning. So which means, just like the parable Jesus gave, he said the wheat and the tares will what? Grow together. And that has always been the case from Genesis. The wheat and the tares grow together. In 1 John chapter 3, John points our attention to that too. And he says, he uses the phrase again, the beginning. 1 John 3 and verse 12. 1 John 3 and 12. Not as Cain, I'll start from 11. This is the message you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, which was of the wicked one, at the beginning, and slew his brother, that's the slave we're talking about, and wherefore slew he him, because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous, from the beginning. Which means that there is a pattern of evil and good coexisting in the earth. And you cannot deny that reality. It says, from the foundation of the world, we have evil and good. We have the righteous, we have the unrighteous. We have the one born of God, and we have the one born of the devil. So, which means that, do not expect, that don't have an imaginary view of the Christian walk. Every patriarch before Jesus, from Abel to Zechariah, faced this contradiction. From Jesus to the apostles, they faced this contradiction. Everyone did. So do not get shell-shocked when you're born again. I was, for example, I got saved on a Sunday. Shows you my salvation is sealed in the Sunday service. And somehow I felt really good. New creation, born again. Except a few instructions that I got about my hairstyle. Everything was okay. And I couldn't have the hairstyle that day. They told me that I shouldn't worry. I'm a new creature, but to knew the creature very well, I had to take the hairstyle off. So I said, okay, no problem. I'll do that maybe later in the evening, which I eventually did. So I felt that, you know, I'm born again now. The whole world was born again. So I didn't expect anyone to tempt me. I didn't expect to be tempted. I was just heavenly in my feeling. And the first guy I said to, I'm born again. I'm not saying, but okay, fine. And then one guy just upset me. And I was, oh my God. Did you just ruin my salvation? Because I did not expect a new creature to just expire in 2 hours. The expiry date was too short. So I felt that shouldn't happen quickly. And sometimes that's how we embrace the faith. Oh, I'm born again. We have prayed. We have done this. So we expect that, you know, like the Jehovah Wickedness Witness magazine, where they paint what they want to paint. So you don't have that. It doesn't exist. In Psalm 24 and verse 1, where the psalmist many years later talks about God's creation. Psalm 24 and 1. What does he say? He says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. Verse 2 says, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Now, it's funny that we probably think that the psalmist here is describing geography, oceanography. Where was he going to get that knowledge from? The concept of seas here is a supernatural world. So in Genesis chapter 1, where we read about the seas, because now he's talking about creation, the purpose of the earth. He's saying that God founded his own earth upon the seas. Then in verse 3, he says the holy heel of God is upon the seas. Notice that. He says upon the seas. Watch this one. It's critical. He says the earth is not the fullness thereof. The world knows therein. He said he founded it upon the seas, upon the floods and the seas, established upon floods. Now look at the word upon. The next verse in verse 3 says, who shall ascend to the holy hill? Because that means the earth is referring to, which is God's rest place, is upon the floods, upon the seas. That's the holy hill is referring to. So that's established what we've said, that the earth we're in today is God's rest place. But notice the location of the earth, where God's rest place is. It says upon the seas. Now in Genesis chapter 1, where we find that explanation, in Genesis 1:1, says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Heavens is plural. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Then he says, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So which means that what he said was dark here, without form and void, also refers to the waters. So you can call it dark waters. Did you hear that? Dark waters. Chaotic waters. Or call it evil waters. Cool if you say that. Well, maybe just call it chaotic waters. Evil may be too strong. But dark waters. Now, he doesn't stop there. Now, notice that there's a difference between what's going on here and what goes on in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, we now have the rivers. Rivers is treated water. Rivers is, you can call it, purposeful directional waters. So you find that New Testament uses rivers of living water or river of life. Doesn't use seas. Right? Because seas is chaos. Seas is problematic. And so we have rivers from Eden, Genesis chapter 2, from verse 10 through to verse 14. And then in Genesis chapter 1, where he now mentions, so uses Jesus, talks a lot about water, born of the water, John 3:5, and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. John 4:14, John 4:10, if you knew the gift of God, you'd have asked of him, he'd have given you living water. John 4:14, John 4:13, if you drink of this water, you thirst again, but he that drinketh water I give him shall have in him a well of water, springing up unto everlasting life. John 7:37, he that tells them, come to me and drink, for out of his belly, as scripture said, as blessed are fully by the Lord, this speaking of the Spirit, that those that will believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, he was not yet glorified. John 37, 38, 39. So you find waters, and you see that those waters are the Genesis waters. Okay? Born of the water there will mean two things. One of them is washed by God's Spirit from the seas, that is taken out from the world, set free from darkness. So the waters there is not oceanography, it's not geography, it's not science in any case. Even though science depicts this in the natural, the natural waters depict the natural, but that's not what they're referring to. So notice John uses Genesis facts a lot. John 1:1. The Word, what was with God, what was God, the same was in the beginning with God. So John mirrors Genesis, John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So you have all that play, you know, by John. But look at Genesis 1, where I'm going to read it. And then he says in verse 21, notice in Genesis 1:2, we have the waters. Then Genesis 1:6, he divided the waters. Genesis 1:6, the waters from the waters. Genesis 1:7, he made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters that were above the firmament. It was so. So he's dividing the waters. So he called the firmament heaven. Okay. Then verse 9, he let the waters under, watch this one now, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. It's so. So watch this now. God called the dry sea, the lands of earth, gathering together the waters he calls seas. Now, which waters are we talking about? The waters of verse 2? Dark waters? Are you here? Chaos? So he gathers them together. He does not extinguish them, he only divides them. Then, So what you have is the waters are given purpose, waters above, waters beneath, all right? So this is what Psalm 2 verse 1, Psalm 24 verse 1 and 2 is referring to. Now quickly, Genesis 1, 20. I'll start from 19, no 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth and the open firmament of the heavens. Now notice the next statement in 21. And God created creation out of nothing or gave purpose. Thank you. Created great whales and every living creature that moves, where the waters brought forth abundantly. So the waters brought them forth, okay, which means they were products of the waters. Now listen now. I know when you read your New King James or your King James, you have the word great whales. So in your mind, that Pastor Wallen and whales. In your mind, you go, great whales will be where you get to the seas, you know, all those nice animals. No. The word whales here is the Hebrew word tanim. We've done this study over and over again. T-A-N-I-M. It's also called dragon. Okay? It's not a nice one. It's not the whale you eat. If you eat this one, you are possessed. Alright? This whale is a tanim. It's also called a serpent. Exodus 7. I think newer translations should use serpent. Sea serpent. Exodus 7. Because somehow those who did the King James and the English Bibles, they watered down the supernatural context of those words. Exodus chapter 7. Quick one. I'm going to run through many texts with you. Verse 9. It became a serpent. The word serpent there is tanim. Verse 10, it became a serpent, tanim. And verse 12, the serpents, the word there is tanim. Okay? Basically, it's a compound word for a chaotic creature, a creature of chaos that causes disorder. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 33. Their wine is a poison of dragons. The word dragon there is the same word tanim, same word we read in Genesis 1, 20 and 21. Nehemiah 2 and verse 13. Job 7, 12. And Job 30 verse 29. So the word there is serpent or dragon. Psalm 44 verse 19. Psalm 44. And verse 19. Though thou hast so broken us in the place of dragons, and covered us with the shadow of death. Dragons, tanim. Psalm 74, verse 13. Now look at this one, Psalm 91, verse 13. Same Hebrew word, Psalm 91, verse 13. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon thou shalt trample under your feet. The word dragon there is the word tanim. Psalm 148 and verse 7. Isaiah 13 and 22. I'll take it again. Psalm 44 verse 19. Psalm 74 verse 13. Psalm 91 verse 13, the one we just read. Psalm 148 verse 7. Now look at Isaiah 13. No, just put down Isaiah 13, 22. Now Isaiah 27 and verse 1. Isaiah 27 and verse. So all through the Old Testament, that creature was not the whale you see at the bar beach. No. Isaiah 27 and verse 1. In that day, the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword will punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent. Even Leviathan, the crooked serpent, he shall slay the dragon. Can you see it? That is where? That is where? In the sea. That is not an expedition in the Red Sea. I mean, in the Atlantic Ocean. That is a supernatural context. Isaiah 34 verse 13. Isaiah 35 verse 7. Isaiah 43 verse 20, Isaiah 34, 13, Isaiah 35 verse 7, Isaiah 43 verse 20. Look at Isaiah 51 and verse 9. Every time a scripture is read, make sure you read it. Okay? If I say let's read it, make sure you read it. Then put down the text so that you can go back and check it. Okay? Isaiah 51 and verse 9. Awake, awake, put on strength. Now watch this one. This is a very important one. All are important, sorry, but this is something I want you to see. O Ham of the Lord, awake, as in the ancient of days, in generations of old, and thou not it that caught Rahab, and he says, and wounded the dragon. Now, he's describing the Exodus here. He says, and wounded the dragon. And thou not that which dried the sea, Exodus, and the waters of the great deep, which had made the depth of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over. No. So this is what it means to be born of the water. Now notice that he says that the sea, notice in Exodus 15, Moses talks about Pharaoh and the chariot. Then he talks about the gods. Who is like unto thee amongst the gods? So we had the supernatural beings were also involved in that conquest. Watch this now. So he says that, so the dry land on the sea is a proof of God's control over the forces of darkness. So the earth means salvation. The word earth means salvation. The word earth also means God's redemption. The word earth also means God's rest place. So it has that multi-layer meaning. Is that making sense? So you notice that if you read Genesis 1 and Exodus 14, you see similarities. The way the waters were parted, the way the dry land appeared, the lights of that day. We've done that study over and over again. So what we have in Exodus is also another Genesis. God starts again. He begins a people again. So, Jeremiah 9:11, Jeremiah 10:22, Jeremiah 14 verse 6, Jeremiah 49 verse 33, I think again, Jeremiah 9:11, Jeremiah 10:22, Jeremiah 14:6, Jeremiah 49 verse 33. Now look at Jeremiah 51. So when scripture talks about seas in the Old Testament now and talks about whales, are we referring to nature or the supernatural world? Good. So that's how to read it. Now, Jeremiah 51 and verse 34. Now this is Nebuchadnezzar. The king of Babylon had devoured me. He had crushed me. He had made me an empty vessel. He had swallowed me up like a dragon. He had filled his belly with my delicacy like a dragon. Okay? So it talks about the earthly king like a supernatural beast. Look at 37. Babylon shall become heaps, a dwelling place for dragons. So which means that people are also called seas. Okay? Seas. So when it says, as the waters covers the seas, what does that mean? That means the treated waters of the Holy Spirit, right, will flow into the dark waters and many will be born again. Does it make sense? Okay. So that's the language. So when Ezekiel 29 verse 3 or so. So when Jonah was found in the belly of the whale. Does that ring a bell? Does it ring a bell? Which means Jonah actually died. And where was he found? Jonah was found in Sheol of the Old Testament, the place of the dead. And what does he do? Look at Jonah chapter 2. You with me? Are you with me? We're going back to Psalm 24. I don't have to explain that Psalm 24 to you. You say the earth is not the fullness thereof. The world, and you don't go to the Bible and say the earth is not the fullness thereof. The dragon has gotten you if you do that thing like that. Jonah 1:17. The Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. So stop arguing with scientists. The Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Just like Jesus. This was the first person to be in the place of the dead 3 days and three nights. So Jesus died and rose from the dead, just like Jonah. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, watch this, his God, out of the fish belly. So Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, out of the whale's belly. But the truth is that Jesus was the same place and he got out. Praise the Lord. You thinking something? And said, I cried by reason of my affliction to the Lord. He heard me out of the belly. Notice Jonah says, the belly of Sheol, place of the dead. Cried I, and thou heard my voice. Now look at three. You can't miss this one. Thou hast cast me into what? Echoes of Genesis 1, 2, Tinnom. The deep, dark waters. In the midst of what? And the floods compassed me about, all the billows and the waves passed over me. I'm cast out of their sight. Yet, watch this one, look at the direction, look up. I'll look again where? So where's the direction of where he is? Down. What's up? God's temple. Now what is God's temple? The earth. I look towards the temple. The waters encompass me to the soul, the depths. Again, the word depth, same word. Genesis 1, 2. Closed me around about, the weeds were wrapped about my head. Went up to the bottom of the mountains, the earth with her bars were about me forever. Yet thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. This sounds like Jesus, right? Actually, Jesus sounded like him. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, my prayer came unto thee in your holy temple. Where did he call God's temple? The earth. So don't think your prayers are going outside this earth. They are here. Amen. But watch this now. They that observe lying vanish forsake their own mercy. Yet I'll sacrifice to thee the voice of thanksgiving. I'll pay that which I vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish. And he vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. See that? So what's the dry land? The Lord's temple? Are you here? Good. So the fish there is not the fish in the ocean near your village. Okay? So Psalm 24. So does God's dwelling place coexist with darkness? Huh? Right? Forces of chaos. Right? So Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's. Right? Come on. Remember when Paul made reference to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He was talking about the temple and offerings to idols. And he said, knock it out. This earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Which means this earth is no idol temple. It belongs to Yahweh alone. Can I have an amen? Amen. So Psalm 24 verse 1. The earth is the Lord's. Praise the Lord. And the fullness thereof. The walls and those that dwell in. Now look at two. Let's take two together. For he founded it upon what? And what? So we have the earth over the seas and the floods. Floods and seas, natural? Huh? Natural? Supernatural. Upon it. So which means that God's dwelling place exercises authority over darkness. Darkness is not quenched. No, it's not. Are the floods evil? Huh? Let's say chaotic, okay? Out of order. But God's dwelling place is upon it. Is upon it. They are not extinguished. God's dwelling place is upon it. But look at Revelation 22. Learning something? He showed me, verse 1, a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, pushing out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Then look at 2. Let's take 2 together. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there was a tree of life, which bore 12 manner of fruit. Let's go. Uh-huh. How can something yield every month? That means seed time and harvest is? Come on. Is what? No more. That means this brings fruit all the time. See, time and harvest is no more. Look at the next thing. Let's go. And the leaves of the tree were for what? The healing of the nations. Oh, praise God. Look at the next verse 3. There shall be no more curse. Come on. The throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. His servants shall serve him. Let's take verse 5 together. There shall be no more night. Let's go. They need no candle, need the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever. Revelation 21. Verse 4. No, that's it, verse 4, no. 21, verse 1. I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were what? There was no more sea. Look at verse 4. All tears wiped away, no more death. So no more sorrow, crying, no more pain. So notice, seas identified what? Death, uh-huh. Darkness, night, what else? Curse, all gone. What about seed time and harvest? It's gone. But, now, pausing there a bit. So, when Jesus, Matthew 12, I'll talk about Jonah, let's get back to that quickly. Matthew 12. You learning something? Yeah. So, in Revelation 21, 22, are we back to Genesis? Right? Now, Revelation, Matthew 12, sorry. Matthew 12, that's Jesus. They said, Master, we seek a sign, verse 38, see a sign from thee. And he answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. There shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights, where? So shall there be 3 days and 3 nights, where? Now the word hurt there is not here. The heart of the, where was Jonah? Was Jonah in a grave? Huh? Was he in the grave? The sepulchre. Where was he? He was in the place of the dead. Was Jonah dead? He was. So, and it says, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment because of the preaching of Jonah. They repented. So Jesus also rose from the dead, and just like Jonah, he preached. So, was Jesus the first person to rise from the dead 3 days and 3 nights? No, Jonah did. But Jesus is the only one who lived forever. Is that clear? Now watch this one now. So Jonah was, can we say Jonah was in the belly of the serpent? Huh? Dragon? So forget all those your nursery school books. Nobody can survive in the belly of a whale. You can try it. So which means the use of seas and storm in the Bible, particularly the life of Jesus, was to give you an imagery. Tomorrow we're going to do some studies in the morning. So when Jesus calmed the storm, Bible wants you to read something there. Forces of what? Darkness. When he walked on the waters, what's he showing you? Dominion over the forces of what? Of darkness. When he said to them, in Matthew 4, where did he meet them? He met them at the seas. Right? And they were catching fish. He said, you shall no longer catch men. I mean, catch fish, but catch men. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Why are those things important? Because at the Sea of Galilee, which refers to the nations, we have an imagery of a chaotic people. So saying, I will make you fishers of men, it means you will take men from the dominion of darkness. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? Taught that before. So the use of seas will have a natural view that has a supernatural view to it. I'll make you fishers of men. So now, pause now, I want to show you something quickly, and I want you to pay very good attention. So when I read my Bible, right, I know that I'm studying a description of a supernatural world, even when it appears like what is being used is a natural thing. That includes seas? Huh? Huh? What about waters? What about trees? Remember the tree? Fig tree? Jesus said to the fig tree, you shall no more bring forth fruit. Then he comes and says, I am the true vine. Right? Come on. I am the true vine. And look at his parables. He used a parable of the kingdom. Said the kingdom of God is like a man planted seed. It became a tree. Is that not true? Come on. So we must therefore read the Bible with that kind of understanding. So now let's study something quickly. So now possibly, so the Lord's house is upon the waters, right? Upon the floods. The floods are not gone yet. Amen. Come on. They aren't gone yet. The seas aren't gone yet. What else is not gone? Genesis 8:22 says, day and night. But don't forget, we said last week, night is from darkness. Right? Day is from God said, let me be. Right? So, but it didn't take out the darkness. He only separated it. So which means darkness is a reality. Not this kind of darkness where you can put street lights. Darkness is a reality. Darkness is a reality. So when I study the use of darkness in scripture, I must pay very good attention. Look at John 9. We're looking at times and seasons, right? Good. John 9. This is Jesus. Verse 4, I must walk the walks of him that sent me while it is day. What? Do you think he's saying that while it's between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m.? No. While it is day, the night coming, times and seasons, when no man can walk. As long as I'm in the world, what else? I am the light of the world. So, now pause, since coming to church. So, if Jesus uses night to pass across a message, it means that I should pay attention to the use of night. So, let's take a few things on. In the concept of night, interestingly, we are teaching at night. How about that for a teaching? You know, back then when we would preach about the Antichrist, we normally do it at night. Antichrist preaching is at night. One of my classmates, he attends church. One day I'm going to call him out to tell us some of those stories. I remember, he's in the service. JB, are you around? You know, one of those days, he was part of it. I just remembered. The drama we did for Rapture, he was there. The one for, no, was it Rapture he was there, or the one for backsmacking? Okay, well, I see him in service. Is he around? JB, are you here? Okay, he's not there. Okay, I know he didn't come today. So I'll ask him. Because sometimes when I say, he starts to laugh in church. Because he was there. I remember that day he was doing like this. So I went to him, I said, bro, that song, I know we heard devil, but I also played Ron Kennedy, and he was also saying devil. He said, no, that's the devil. It's the devil trying to confuse us. You don't know what I'm talking about, just forget it. You know, and we did at night, and we got a lot of conversions. Some of them were fake. By the next morning, we're back in the world. Non-genuine salvation. Praise the Lord. So night is important. So look at Matthew 2:14. Let's look at the concept of night. Matthew 2:14. Jesus was taking in an escape route by night. By night. That's when they fled. In Matthew 14:25, what's significant about that? That he left by night. You know, because night is meant to cover, right? And God bit the devil at it. Hallelujah. You get that? He bit the devil at it. He hit Jesus at night. And he's in Egypt and the devil doesn't know that's Jesus. Idiot. Not you. You are not the devil. Praise the Lord. Can I say idiot, brother? No, not you. Or are you the devil? He just at night. He hit the devil. No, he hit Jesus at night when there is no light. So God knows what to do with darkness. Come on. Are you here? Never be afraid of it. Satan, who seems to be the master of the night, idiot. He can't even see in night. He's like a bat. He can't even see at night. Praise God. Matthew 14:25. What's this? Matthew 14:25. The fourth watch of the night, dark, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Does that send imagery to you? Night and sea in the same sentence. Wake up. Hallelujah. Right there. Glory to God. He doesn't run from the darkness. He walked on the seas in the darkness. In Matthew 26 and 31. What happened? Matthew 26 and 31. He said to them, he said, all you shall be offended because of me this night. Do you think Jesus is talking about 6 p.m.? No. 6 p.m. just becomes a description. This night, when they came to him to arrest him, he told them, he said, I was with you all day. You didn't come at during the day. But because you are people of the night, hallelujah. I was with you during the day, you didn't come. You know that all the trials of Jesus took place overnight. They quickly did what they wanted to do. Quickly. Overnight. Everything has the imagery it poses to us. Verse 34, Matthew 26. He said, I said to you, Peter, that night, that this night, before the cock crows, you shall deny me 3 times. He's arrested at night. He's betrayed at night. He's judged and falsely accused at night. Are you here? Matthew 27:64. They said, look, let's make sure we seal up his grave. Lest the disciples should come at night. Because they are people of the night. They know they do that at night. And steal his body. And when they were going to lie, Matthew 28:13. He said, they came at night. Are you here? At night. In Mark 6:48, same thing, he walked on water. Mark tells us the wind was boisterous. The sea, the storm was there. It was at night. Mark 14:27, the betrayal and the offense was at night. Mark 14:30, Peter's denial was at night. Luke 2 verse 8. The shepherds also watched their flocks by night. And then the angels showed up. The host of heaven said, peace be upon all men. Bible writers are not just writing words. They are positioning how God mastered the darkness. In Luke 5 verse 5, Peter said, we have toiled all night. We've caught nothing. Jesus said, follow me, you will become a fisher of men. We will fish in the darkness. I will catch fish in the darkness. I said, I will fish in the darkness. I will catch fish in the darkness. Hallelujah. There is no season we cannot catch fish. In the name of Jesus. Peter said, we toiled all night, caught nothing. He said, cast it to this side. I am the light of the world. Hallelujah. Are you here? Say, follow me. You no longer catch fish, but you will catch men alive. Where did he catch the men? Where did he catch the fish? At night, in the seas. To the glory of God, our message will go anywhere, everywhere, every time. Hallelujah. And we set men free in any situation. Glory to God. So when we see night, we're not scared. We know we are masters of the darkness. Are you here? Pay attention now. In Luke 12:20, the parable of the fool. He said, you fool, this night the soul will be required of you. Look at the words, night. In Luke 17:34, when Jesus talked about the invasion of Jerusalem, Luke 17:34, I tell you, in the night, there shall be two men in one bed. He says, one shall be taken and the other be left. Two women shall be grinding together. You think he's talking about two men will be squatting in the hostel? No. The night is that part, dark period. Night. People think that because of this word, it means the rapture will take place at night. Whatever rapture there is in their head. Remember, there was a secondary school. We had this particular guy. He was a very, very holy brother. So I used to stay under his bunk. We both stayed at the extension. We both left our houses. He was in car house. I think I was in field house. I'm in field house. I think he was in car house. So we now went to stay in called the place extension. So because he was a very holy guy, very, very holy guy, and I wasn't so holy, so I kind of told him, I said, stay up. I chose under his bunk so that if rapture happens, I'm just grabbed. And it's for the night purpose. You know. In Luke 21:37, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives too at night. In John 3:2, Nicodemus was described as the man who came to Jesus by night. It became his name, nickname. John 5:56, John 19:39. He said that one that came to Jesus at, the disciple that came at night, undercover, is a CIA believer. But look at John 9:4. Jesus said, I must walk while it is day, for the night cometh when no man will work. I am the light of the world. Are you here? John 11. If I had the time, I'll have showed you. John was the greatest of the four. He was the one that used times and seasons the most. John 11 and verse 10. Watch this one now. Let's start from 9. And there are not 12 hours in the day. If any man walk in the day, he stumbles not, because he sees the light of this world. Are you here? Look at 10. If a man walk in the night, he stumbles, because there is no light in him. What do you think he's talking about? Hallelujah. This thing said he. And after he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go and I may awake him out of sleep. Night, sleep, dark. He said, if a man walks in darkness with no light in him, he will stumble. See, I don't stumble. No matter the season, I don't stumble. I've got light in me. Hallelujah. So no matter the darkness, we don't stumble. We are not confused. Praise the Lord. That's why a Christian, oh my God, a Christian can't take inspiration from the media. You can't know what God is doing by watching news. Abba. No. 100 times no. So Jesus said, if you walk in the darkness, you don't have light, you're going to stumble. John 13:20. Judas went at night. He's a man of the night. John 13. Verse 30. Having received the soap, immediately went out, and it was night. Why do you think he said it was night? Is he talking about the weather or a season? Because light was gone from him. It was night. It was night. I had a sermon like that. I preached in the 90s when it was night. Oh, praise God. John 21 and verse 3. Again, Jesus deliberately came to the disciples when they were fishing at night. Hallelujah. We've got light in the darkness. So we've got light in the darkness. Don't forget, as long as the earth remains, night and day will not what? But we walk in the light. So we walk in the light. So in every season, we don't stumble. We walk in the light. Glory to God. You learning something here? Romans 13 and verse 12. Romans 13, 12. Let's go together. Let's even start from 11. Let's go. And that knowing the time. See that? Are you there? What do you say? Knowing what? Say, I know the time. Oh, I know. Say, I know the time. So when you see darkness, you sense what is going on. You know the light is switched off. Hallelujah. Knowing the time. Watch this one. Uh-huh. That now, come on. Is the high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Glory to God. So does the New Testament writer write this way too? It does. Look at the next verse. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. What's he talking about? Because they were facing persecution. They were under a lot of persecution from the Roman government. So I know the night is far spent. It looks like evil is prevailing. That's why I said, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. So don't be troubled. Don't be troubled. The night is fast, man. Watch this. Watch this. But what? The day is at hand. Come on, let's go on. Let us therefore. Come on, let's go what? Let us put on what? Verse 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Uh-huh. Because those are the forces of darkness. Look at the next verse. And put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust. Raise your two hands. Say, I walk in the light.
I walk in the light.
Say, I walk in the light.
I walk in the light.
In every season.
In every season.
Day or night.
Day or night.
I walk in the light.
I walk in the light.
Hallelujah. You following this? Upon the resurrection of Jesus, did night cease? Huh? Did darkness stop? No. But we know how to walk through it. Praise the Lord. You see, you must know there are times and seasons in the earth. We'll get to the practical part, this part shortly. In 1 Corinthians 11, 23, Paul was emphatic. The Lord Jesus Christ, the night that he was betrayed. Why do you think he had said the night? The images of the Bible. The night he was betrayed. Took the bread. An evil night. When did the Passover also happen? At night. When did they cross the Red Sea? Day and night. Watch this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 2, he says, he will come as a thief in the night. And verse 5 too. A thief in the night. Then he warns us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So night there is not past 6. So. Is that okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Of the times, look at it. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Verse 1. Are you here? Let's go. But of the... brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Let's go. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord as a thief... Come on, 3. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden sorrow will come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Verse 4. But you brethren, say, I'm not in darkness. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
There are times that ceases in the earth. But we walk in the light. The darkness does not scare us. Because we are armed with light. See it again? Let's go. Let's go again. Verse 4. But you brethren, you are not what? That the day should overtake you as a thief. Let's take verse 5 together. Huh? We are not of the night, nor of the dark. Verse 6. Let us therefore not sleep as do others. Woo! Glory to God. You think it means don't sleep tonight? We must be conscious. Are you here? Some of you will like the media. There's nothing you don't watch. Hey! You know, watch everything. Yeah. No! We know this world has two seasons. Day and night. He said you must be sober. There's an old Christian song, Yoruba song. It says, Christian, imagine why he's singing. Don't be relaxed. That's what he's saying. Don't relax. There's no vacation, spiritually speaking. The holiday we just passed. The people die. The people backslide. The people go to hell. So if you use that period to be visiting friends, collecting ampa, or you are the ampa, fattening up. You say, I don't fast during the celebration of Jesus. I don't fast. And you now develop a terrible habit because it's night. He said, we must be sober. A Christian must always be sober. So you must take his back seat and watch. People are suddenly changing the way they are dressing, you know. So you have to watch a Christian who's always following trend. Everything. People are now putting their, there was a time like that. Who remember Chris Cross going to make it up? Chris Cross. Who knows Chris Cross here? Those of you, how did you know Chris Cross? Chris Cross going to make it up. Then they will put the jeans. Who remember City Jeans? No City Jeans. They put the jeans like this. You didn't mean that one. Chris Cross going to make it up. Then we also had a house party by Kid and Play. You know Kid and Play? How am I sounding old? So you have, you know, but you know, eyes, baby. You know that one? You know, I used to rap. I used to be a DJ. You don't know. You don't know me. So you know, so first some Christians, they didn't know until they started putting their own jeans too. Born again, oh. People are now keeping beer, tell you. A believer say, that one's raining now. Calm down. Put some soberness. No, you are not of the darkness. You should put some restraint. Even when it's not evil, stay back a bit. When something is trending, a new creature says, I know there's a God of this world. There's a spirit in this world. Let me track back a bit. It doesn't mean it's a sin. No. But you have to put yourself under caution. Are you here? You just got all your Saturdays are booked. All your Saturdays, they are just booked. Party. So you know, I have to. That was my colleague. That was my friend's colleague. This one is my cousin's uncle. That one, we have been friends since primary school. This one. Hey! When you are done with that month, you now wake up to pray. Rabba. Lego. Lakoro. Ah. Mogbe. Morogo. Then, as the struggle, you know you're back, you know, you just see one TV program, someone just say, it's not about praying every time. Hey! Live your life. Christianity is not about the word alone, it's about the life you live. Lager. Logo. Because you slept off. Satan plays the long game. He plays the long game. He's an experienced deceiver. You know SP? When you see experienced people in anything, you know, they will beat you to it. What's wrong with this one? Experienced. You should be sober. A Christian just be sober. You can decide that what is raining, you will not use it. just to exercise control. Are you here? You just don't know. I'm using control here. Are you here? We're not of the darkness. I don't think I said we're not of the darkness. Look at it. Verse 7. Okay, let's take verse 6 together. Let us therefore not what? As what? So, unbelievers are They are sleeping. You know, some people are not sleeping, they are dozing. One person asked me, say, Pastor, if I ask you a question, will you judge me? That's a new way of saying, don't let's do the word. I said, no, judge you. Ah, the devil no condemnation. Romans 8:1. Say, Pastor, personally, listen to this one, though. Personally, I cannot read without alcohol. The person is not another church. Before you look outside. I said, I just want to open up, sir. And I've been like that for years. Sometimes I cannot even sleep without taking. Now, and Uncle Adela has taught us that never express surprise so that the person can keep talking. He said, if you express surprise, the person will stop talking. So I just said, I understand. My mind is going, so great salvation. Not in Genesis. In the spirit, by the spirit. Say, I cannot sleep. I said, it's not a problem. I just wondering, but for me, Sal, seriously, I don't get drunk. I said, I don't. Why do you think a Christian got to that point? He slept. Bible says when men slept, the enemy came and planted seeds. Say, I refuse to sleep. You sleep tonight, oh. Say, I refuse to sleep. Say, I'm awake! When men are sleeping, I refuse to sleep. I'm awake. Watch this one. Let's take verse 7 together. Let's go. Oh, let's go. Verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober. Put on the breastplate of faith and love. A Christian cannot be doing hoi. Yeah, everything, relax! Happy music. The latest songs, we can ask you, what's that latest song? By Thames. By Rema. Yeah. What was taught on Sunday? Which song? Oh, this last one. I think Basil was preaching on Bro is dozing and drooling. Bro is gone! You now see that it will now show in your prayer life. The way you hear the word. You just start getting bored at long teaching. Someone will now tell you. All those everlasting gospel. That's not what it means. That's not growth. Just put people down and then you put them in trouble for hours under hostage situation. See, I'm teaching them the word. If you just get the rhema. You get the rhema and the Jesus, I don't know how to say it. Yeah, just connect. You just connect. People don't like all those stories. Don't tell stories. Don't quote Bible. Just go straight to the point. Is the word become flesh? But when people have killed discernment, they don't know who is the preacher again. You bring MD of so and so company. He comes to preach on the same pulpit. Governor will come. He's preaching. Hare Krishna, same pulpit. Say, well, I just want to tell you something about. There's a God in every man. There's a divine spark in your ideas. When you postulate, there's a divine energy. That energy flows a lot with your imagination. So the pastor now comes and says, what is he saying now? He's in the Bible. Hey. Say, so I refuse to sleep. Pastors, don't sleep, bro. Hey, you won't know when your sermon will change. They start quoting scripture small, small. Is that saying, 4 Corinthians, 4, 5, like that, like that, like that. Baba is sleeping. Then that Greek word, forget, it's not about Greek word, really. Ah! Chief! When did this time be? It's not about Greek word. Baba has gotten drunk. Amen? Praise God. You know how to pray? Put your hands in your pocket. Where did that one start? Baba was. No. You're wrong. So I walk in the light. So I walk in the light. Genesis chapter 8 verse 22. You learning something? I'm ready for every season. There will be seasons of boredom. Oh yes. You won't feel the way you used to feel, but you can walk through it. Hallelujah. There'll be seasons of boredom. It's meant to be. Did you hear me? Listen guys, let me say something to you. Every season can't be the same. Or else you can't test your character. Your true character will come in the darkness. It can't be the same. Genesis chapter 8 verse 21. Why did God say times and seasons will not cease? It's because of his long suffering. Because if God wants only a perfect situation, no one, not even Noah, will have stayed. God wants to work out perfection in imperfection. That is why I won't run from the darkness. I will walk in the light. And I will see the riches of the darkness. Are you here? Watch this one now. The Lord smelled the sweet savor. Verse 21, I've said that to you. The word, the smell is sweet savor there is bad translation. It simply means the spirit of God, all right, took residence. That's the word. The smell there is from the word ruach, spirit, Holy Ghost. And the word sweet savor is a rest place. A rest place. That means the spirit of God took a resting place. You know that God was like, I like that sweet. No. Because where this thing is offered is like a temple. Alright? So I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the magnitude of man's heart is healed from his youth, neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done. Which means, look, if I'm going to wipe everything off, we'll have to do this again and again and again and again and again. But I will have to bear with it. That is why Peter says the long suffering of our God in the days of Noah. Which means that he just said, look, I'm going to bear with it. Pay attention here. So Bible authors, when they talk about the patience of God, they are starting from this point. Now listen, why would you need patience? Because, listen, life and the earth is in times and seasons. Things can delay. If God uses patience, who are you? If God can wait, God waits. Who are you? Are you following what I'm saying here? So he says now in verse 22, while this earth remains, what kind of earth now? The earth where man is unstable, unpredictable, good. It means, now I wrote there, contrast will never end. Why do we have contrast in the earth? Look at me. Because you and I, we are the contradiction. Do you understand? Do you get it? You and I. Today, you are perfect. Tomorrow, you are not perfect. Today, you like it. No, you don't like it. Look at many of you, you cross over to Man City. Shame. How many years ago, there was a kind of music that was raining? Music has changed now. Now, just sound as opaque, as vague, I'm going to pray for two, I get three. What does it mean? Does it have to mean anything? Eh? Let me move around. Tiniwa. Oh my, told me, he said, He said, what are you singing these days, you children of nowadays? I said, sir, should I sing one obey song for you? He said, which song? What I said, he said, it's not this bad. Oh. Every bad has its own version. Human beings are just like that. Fashionable things today, tomorrow is no longer fashionable. The things we used to see in pictures then, and see our grandmothers, that their shoe will be this high. I would say, what is this? He would not buy it for £5,000. Why would God not have long suffering? Why would he have long suffering? That's as it is. So God says, seed time and harvest, no cease. Day and night. So as long as we have man, evil will exist. Good will exist with evil. Genesis chapter 6 verse 3. My spirit shall no longer strive with man for his flesh. He's unstable. But God has given his word. He will not because of evil destroy the earth. He said, my loving kindness. Isaiah 54 verse 8. So what it means, guys, we must walk in the night. So I must therefore know in my life, because of one, which I am in the midst of human beings, and a lot of things are determined by people. The way a nation is governed is determined by people. You find nations that used to herald the gospel now have presidents, leaders, who are throwing out the gospel. That's humanity for you. And they will explain it. You find evil and good coexist. Because where you have men, you have the devil. Where you have the devil, you will have evil. We must therefore know how to master every season. Let me repeat it again. Because I relate with men and I'm human, seasons will be part of my life. I'm going to get to this in a moment. Write this in capital letters. Except Christ Jesus, nothing lasts forever. Did you hear that? Nothing. The Bible will say, it's when you have the opportunity to use it. Time will not wait for you. There's nothing called forever. The only forever is in Christ Jesus. Man knows that. The people that were trying to find a solution to man dying, they are dead. So look at this. You must know that. You must know that if God calls you, the fact that God has given you the deposit of his grace, his spirit, doesn't mean you won't walk through seasons and times. We saw Joseph the other day. He looked at what's going on. Why did Joseph have to, why did he have to pass through all those things? Because he was dealing with men. The same people he was going to save hated and rejected him. The same man he was protecting locked him up in prison. Why? The man is not omniscient or omnipotent. He will miss it. And you and I will have to deal with that. Don't be shell-shocked when things happen. You are dealing with men because you are also a man. Blessed be God, you have the Holy Ghost. And with the Holy Ghost, you can walk in the light. Say, I walk in the light. So when you sing that song by Pastor Wale, I walk in the light, I'm not confused. It's not for the rhythm. Let it sink into your heart. I'm not confused. And how do you know it? When you distinguish yourself from the world. When everybody is saying, did you watch that video? Say, I didn't watch it. Say, why? Because I don't need it. What do you mean by that? Everybody is doing this. Do I look at everybody? I walk in the light. Did you see that? Everybody's going for that party. Remember when I was in the university, we had this, every year we had the law week. So we got to the final year, then I said, Shekou, you never been to any law week? I said, no, I go for the one they do during the day. He said, no, now the one we go, everybody, there are people there now. There are pastors there. The class one president is there. This one is there. I said, okay. So I now asked a question. He said, when would the dinner start? They said, around 9. Why? You know, I was planning a program recently, and I'm the chairman. And then I said, it was due night. So I said, why do we want to do night? I said, why can't we have a lunch here? He said, pastor. I said, I know what you want to achieve. You know what? Let's create day for day people. You know, some of you were day students. When we are done, 4, so that people can go back, gentlemen can go back. I'm the chairman, though. Say, so we let you boys. Say, boys will be boys. Say, yeah, pastor, don't worry. You pray for us on Sunday. I said, okay. So they said, what do you do tonight? I said, why do you start with me at night? They said, people have to give speech. I said, so how long is all this speech? They said, 2 hours. Yeah. So by the time they are finishing by 2:12, you have nowhere to go. So they will now get a DJ. Get down on it. Get down on it. For that drink is here. Pastor, go pastor. Go pastor. You'll not be forced to say, ha. You now say, there's this babe looking at you. Can you dance with her? Say, it's innocent that just dance. Let me stop there before I give you pictures here. So I say, I'm not going. I became a lawyer now. Some that were did not become lawyers. So I walk in the light. God's anointed, anointed David in 1 Samuel 16. But look at the times and seasons he faced. Can you imagine the first proof that you were anointed? You went before Goliath, brother Goliath. But before that, it was your younger brother saying, what's wrong with you? Prideful boy. He's anointed and all he has is a few sheep. No single manifestation. Why? Because Saul in the palace did not recognize God had chosen him. That's humanity for you. Don't expect people to see it. His father did not even take it so seriously. His brother's faith was rubbish. That's humanity for you. So things will naturally delay. Even you to get a hold of what God is saying may take you time. Times and seasons are just there. He brought down Goliath. I thought that was it. Then the women brought their own. Oh, Saul killed his thousands. David 10,000. David only killed one person. So the humanity has come with their own. They are elongating the season. Then Saul got angry. Why would he not be angry? If you were Saul, would you be happy? He said, why is he walking in the flesh? Why should he have walked in? So he got back, he's javelin. They start to run. And ran for years. As he's still standing now, his own son got up. Dad, I can be king too. So everything just became longer. But you know, in everything, God is glorified. Hallelujah. God is glorified. So I know how to handle every season. Are you here? In every season, you are building character. You know the thing about David? When he now took over the whole kingdom and all that, suddenly he started looking for a woman. Another season started. Woman was not there before. Just came. Woo! And wahala just started. But you know what? There's no season that God is not glorified if we walk in the light. Ephesians 6:10, Paul says, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. He said, you know what? You must put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the devil in the evil day. It will come. It will come. Psalm 90 verse 12 showed you last week. Said, teach us to number. When they say, I number my days, I apply my heart to wisdom. I refuse to be foolish. So let me quickly run through this one. How much time is gone? There are some things that must not have season in your life. Number one is prayer. Pray without ceasing. When it is good, when it is bad, when you don't feel like, when you are happy, when you are not happy, when people are not praying around you. Without ceasing. Never have a season of prayer. Prayer should be constant. Prayer should be always. You are driving, pray. You are sleeping, pray. You just got a bad news, keep praying. You have believed God to get the job. They sent you the letter that the job is done. Somebody has taken it. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. 1 Corinthians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always. Luke 18:1, men ought to always pray and not faint. Don't give up. Pray always. Whatever season of your life, plan your prayer for bad times. Plan your prayer for when there are no answers. Plan your prayer for when you are rich and when you are poor. Plan to pray all the time. Are you here? Give thanks always. In all things. 1 Corinthians 5:18. Giving thanks always. For this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice again, I say. Rejoice. He's talking to a church that were in prison. A church that many of them were locked up. He's in prison too. A church under persecution. He said, rejoice. Look at how many times in Philippians he says, rejoice. Joy. Rejoice. If all your joy is in the church service, you have not learned true joy yet. There are times you are going to rejoice with tears in your eyes. There are times you are going to have pain in your mind, but you are rejoicing because you dictate the season. The season will not dominate you. Did you hear me? Master the circumstance. Rejoice. Master the situation. Throw the laughter. Say, no, I'm in charge here. I'm in charge here. You have tears in your eyes because you're human. It's painful. But you let out that laugh. Because you have the last laugh. In every season, you dominate. Joy. You pray always. You get up that morning. Some say, well, I wasn't feeling fine. My back was paining me. Right there, lying on the bed, start speaking in tongues. Pastor, I had headache all night. Right there, start talking in tongues. Start begin to pray in the spirit. Because prayer is a constant. The pain is there, little say, Father, I thank you. Oh, you are glorified. You are glorified, I thank you. In all seasons. Paul says, in verse 6, be anxious for nothing, Philippians 4, but in prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the God of peace will guard your heart and mind through Christ. Hallelujah. I like the version says, like a garrison of soldiers in a turbulent country will guard your heart. Say, I guard my heart. Why? Because your heart will start going astray. You start asking wrong questions. You start thinking, what's going on? No, sir! Start to thank God. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I know you are working something out. I know the devil can have the last say. I know your word is working. And I know there are tears in your eyes. Remember when my brother died? Very painful. Painful because we both started out to preach the gospel together. He died. Remember that night I had to call Pastor Fulke. She came. Another brother in church and my wife also, she came. And they came and it was such a night. Terrible night. And you know, so painful. I had to console my dad, my mom. And the next day I was supposed to preach at the church. And you know what? It never crossed my mind to postpone it. I said, Satan, for this soul you took, I promise you, I'll take 1 million. I dare you.
I dare you.
I tears in my eyes. But I said, no. You think I'll be discouraged? No, I won't. I won't. For that one guy, I will set many free from the shackles of the enemy. He still picked, as I'm saying, I'm just holding back tears. Praise the Lord. But you know what? You determine what happens in that season. It's going to be painful. You just lost your job. You lost money. You're owing money. Yeah. Bad decisions, good decisions. People that make good business decisions, they lose money too. I mean, look at the circumstances in the economy around the world. Who predicted COVID? Nobody did. Some that did not even, that business were down, it was COVID that they made money. Time and season. I know a guy like that. He had just lost his job, a pharmacist. So as time COVID came, a guy just came, let's stop up, set up this face mask thing, blah, 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 blah. It's not blah, 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 it's dollar, sorry. That's how he made a lot of money. That means in some people's pain, he was making money. Don't say, it's not God that did it though. That's how life is. In every circumstance, in every situation. You know, there's this song, no matter what my face, when trouble comes my way, they say, when success, does that even make sense? When success comes my way, what would you have done if success comes? It's just simply, what is special about something coming your way? Are you praising the Lord? It's when trouble comes my way. I love that song by Leonard Parson. He is my peace when trouble comes. Hallelujah. Because trouble will come. But glory to God. I am of good cheer. Hallelujah. The pain is there. Sometimes it's your own mistake. But your Lord, I give you thanks. Don't start asking questions. What if I've done this? What if I've done that? What if I... You know, your head begins to go, you can't know everything. You are not God. But you know God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And you know that no matter what it is, something's going to work out well. In the name of Jesus. So you lift your hands and say, oh God, I thank you. I thank you. I will never fall in depression. I will never ever fall into depression. I thank you, oh God. Every situation. As the times and seasons come, say, I give thanks. If you don't know what song to sing, sing in tongues. Let the tears come to your eyes. Satan will know, my God, I lost this one. Ah, this one is not the prayer. No, I cannot be. I'm full of joy. You give thanks always. What else? You walk in the light. You walk in the light. What do you mean by the light? Whatever light you had before the circumstance came, walk in it. When I was diagnosed to die, and then maybe not to die, that second was to say, well, I'm going to marry this for the rest of my life. I said, no. I didn't go to any new scripture. I didn't go to the same things I'd known. I went back there. Those are asking questions, but why did I fall sick? Why wouldn't you? You have a frail body. Why did I make that mistake? Are you God? Why would you make a human being? You make error. That's why of anybody that should not be close to you, people that are perfectionists, I won't even be your friend. Because I know you're a hypocrite. You are not a perfectionist. I see that somewhere. Do things right, oh, have an excellent spirit, oh, but don't judge people. Are you here? I called someone out and said, look, there was a guy like that who had a problem with homosexuality. And I said, look, as a young boy, at the age of 8, it was his father who first molested him sexually. Then took him around to 2 uncles. He grew up that way. Why would you judge that kind of person? I'm not saying the person can't be free from it. He's actually free. For such a person, you cannot start saying, you know, how can a Christian do like that? You, that you're Christian, father and mother, devotion, morning devotion, evening devotion. You had met Christ without meeting Christ. Go and sit down. You sit down somewhere. Are you following what I'm saying? Times and seasons are part of life. Give thanks always. Walk in the light always. So guys, nobody should meet you depressed. Did you hear me? No one should. For what? If everything is gone, you have eternal life. Christ is yours. Always. You are secure in him forever. Those who have this life, what they don't have, you have it. And to the glory of God, what you need in this life, you also have it. Times and seasons. Learn to understand it and walk in it. So Ephesians 5:16, Paul will say, therefore, don't waste time. Do you hear me? Don't waste time doing the wrong things at the right time. Or the wrong things at the wrong time. Don't also do the right things at the wrong time. Learn not to waste time. Redeem it. Look at me, people. For many of you who I know are very young, never say you have time. It's a lie. Bible says, be sober. What do you think happened to Esau? He was the first child. The guy said, look, his brother said, let me offer you pottage. Give me your pottage. What is it? What do I have to do with birthright? What's it? Does it bring money for me? He said it. And he got what he said. I've told you. Watch what you say. Watch what you say. Don't say because you are angry. Watch what you say. Your word will create seasons for you. You know what? Now, the Bible says, when Jacob had been ordained by the dad, he came back with tears. Now, the writer of Hebrews says that he sought repentance with tears. Now, the repentance he's talking about is not repentance like he, because there was no way he repented. He never repented. What he sought, he thought the father could change. He said, you can, is there no more blessing remaining with you? The guy said, no, I've given it. Let me tell you something. And watch this. This is what I'm going to teach next week. Don't waste opportunities, though. Someone told me this, and I reminded her. I said, this year, I won't mention the year, so you know the person. You won't know the person. I said, you told me that the word is everywhere. That's what you told me. You did not know that God gave me to you. And we were meeting in small, small rooms. And you told me, to my face, after we had labored abundantly, sometimes I'll be sick in my body. And I'll preach for 10 hours. Feeling so feverish. There was a day I finished teaching and I threw up that morning. And I went back again to second session. You know, I said, I know, the word was like, I know we've got some things, but it's everywhere. So now how many years now? You're struggling to even be a Christian. Because you wasted the opportunity. Never. See, listen to me. His time is not in your hands. It is your time that is in his hands. Never waste opportunities. I'm going to deal with that next week. Let's do it next week. Some of you just be postponing. What are you postponing? I don't have to pray tonight. Let me do the video next week. Why are you talking like that? Paul says you have to save the time. Because the days are evil. Save it. You don't have the time always. Jesus came to his disciples and says, let's pray. They slept. Let's pray. He came again and said, keep sleeping. Time is gone. May you not pray when it's no longer needed. Did you hear what I just said? Told you of someone so close to me. I spoken to him in the morning and I said, I'm going to talk to you about the gospel. I said, okay, well, we'll see you in the evening. By the time I saw him in the evening, I carried his body lifeless. 32 years ago this year. Because I felt we could control the narrative by evening. Who told you that? And I'm not just talking about salvation. I'll take it one by one. Including your opportunities in your career. Relationships, opportunities in business, in ministry, don't waste it. Opportunity doesn't always come. Because life is in times and seasons. Life is in phases. Always know that. You must know this one very well. We'll talk about that. But as we close, we just said now that there are some constants. Prayer is a constant. Brethren, look at me. Never postpone your prayer life. Don't do it. Always pray. Always pray. Always study God's word. Always give thanks. Don't miss church. I told someone, I said, the first time you don't come to church, you had somewhere to go. You conveniently didn't come. I said, what you have done, you start to master how not to miss church. It's a dangerous place to be. This has affected many during the lockdown. They now know how to miss church. But go and ask the pastors. We're dealing with things that are very serious. I know. Don't get used to it. Don't develop a habit out of sin or disobedience. It's usually very difficult to break. So guys, I put it here, talk about next week. Opportunity does not always come. Redeem the time. Times and seasons are part of life. They're just part of life. They are. Don't say, well, I'll do this one. You know, there was a brother like that. I was talking to someone, I said, and then he, for whatever reasons, he had a problem with school. But during that period, he spent times in the study of the word, in prayer, in ministry. Don't have problem with school. But he had. There were others who looked at him and he felt he had wasted his time. And then I told him, I said, he didn't waste his time. He's doing something. And they felt, look, Lord, and they abandoned the work of the ministry and the study of the word. One thing is this. When you study the word of God, you will get over the situation. He did. By the time came, he had closed the gap that existed. Those same people are now struggling in the work of the ministry. Don't abandon the work of the ministry. I've always warned you, don't do it. Don't because of marriage, business, any circumstance. Don't. Jesus said, he that puts his hand on the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. You are no longer fit. That's what he said. I didn't say he did. James chapter 5. I'll take on this one next week. Hope you are learning something. We're going to pray, right? We have to pray. We have to pray. Your life has a destination. It does. James 5, verse 7. Be patient therefore, brethren, to the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth. And I long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. If God, who is called the husbandman, can have patience, we should too. Walk in the Spirit. Patience is in the fruit of the Spirit. Walk in love. Talk about that later. So guys, redeem the time. Okay? Redeem the time by praying always, okay? Redeem the time by giving thanks always. Forget all this New Year thing by next week, next 2 weeks. People are starting paying school fees. House rent, everything's... But you know how to master the time. Because we walk with God in all seasons. We walk in His will. That's why a man should be in the church where the word of God is taught in season, out of season. Where prayer is made in season, out of season. The people today, the prayer lives of their churches are only hot here.
When they go to United Kingdom, USA, they don't pray again. Because there's no reason why they're praying. Because they think prayer is about what you need now. Look at your challenge. You have this problem. Come and see this one. There's this one, this scripture. Every time they read scripture, is to solve their problems. So when there's no more problem, there's no need for scripture. My life will never be like that in Jesus' name. I will study God's word for all seasons in the name of Jesus. Let us just pray. Pray for yourself. To remain awake.